listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 22nd. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, so happy to have you here. I could not do this without you. And so happy to have everybody joining us live in the chat. Always love your contributions. Love seeing you every week. And, of course, we always appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org. and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we're going to get into the really fascinating topic of how the physical world and the metaphysical world kind of connect and link together. And, you know, I think for me, I really came at this from the idea of the power of belief and how our intention, our beliefs really shape the world around us. But I'm really looking forward to getting into this.
Well, I think it's true. I think there's a synchronicity. I mean, there's not one without the other. Of course, as metaphysicians, we go with that. Right? We believe in that. And there's always some other energy at work besides our own thoughts. But our thoughts also contribute to that energy. And that's a given in our world. And I have to say that, you know, you've got to qualify it, Michael, because not everyone believes that. And we have to acknowledge that not everyone believes that. But, you know, in my world, your world, there's always this synchronicity occurring of this first of all, there's in the macro, there's a big collective unconscious and energy at work. And that I think is always trying to work out the reactions to our actions. And at the same time, we're responding to whatever the results are. So there's always this cycle of energy at work, I think.
Oh, no, absolutely. And, you know, that brings me to one of the topics I had jotted down, you know, entanglement. And that kind of collective consciousness is very much a part of that. Yep. We all are entangled with one another to a degree and to specific individuals. Like, you know, common thing we've talked about before, but that whole thing where you're thinking about somebody and they give you a call or shoot you a text. You know, those happen more than you think they would. And it just shows that, you know, there really is something to this collective consciousness that really, it's a give and take, right? Because who you are and how you present yourself, how you structure your mind, what you choose to focus on definitely has an impact, as does the world around us. you know, we are being bombarded with things every day. Constant steady stream of news, social media, you know, family, friends, all these events. We have connection like never before in the way of technology, which I think supplements and at times enhances that collective consciousness in both good and bad ways.
I was talking with a friend last night at length. She moved to Eastern Canada, and we're talking about different cities have their own energy, you know, in that collective. And where, you know, we were from a city in Alberta, we both agreed that there's this low frequency hum at work, kind of like traffic on asphalt, but it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And as people are irritated and they don't know they're irritated. And so there is this collective kind of frequency going on. And I think whatever place you go to, whatever city you go to, town, you know, which is way different than going in nature, you know, there's different energies at work that we're connected with. And that's why I think it's most evident to us when we see these drastic kinds of, or experience drastic kinds of those shifts. Oh, the energy is different, and we're affected by that energy.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, how we interact with that energy, you know, affects the energy around us. So let's say you're really irritated, had a bad day, you go for a walk in the park, and, oh, you take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Say, wow, this is great. But you continually walk around irritated, and it's a fact. Plants feel that, you know,
right.
Trees feel that, everything feels that. So it's to be one with the energy so that you can function in that and then get the best of it. You go to a city, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go along with the hum.
Mm-hmm.
It's to remember how you were connected to nature and find that, you know, what they call in Chinese medicine, that, you know, that chi, you know, get in touch with your chi and try to stay as centered as possible. Because the world can be quite chaotic.
Oh, and, very much.
And I say this all the time, we're all going to be a casualty to some degree. Because there's no escaping it. No matter how positive you are and righteous and good energy, you know, do all the right things, we're colliding with these other people, energy, intentions, and that's why it's really important to be awake, to be aware. And I think right from situationally aware, like your surroundings, where you are, to, it's kind of like defensive driving, and I call it defensive life training.
Oh, good point. Good term.
and it's... And actually, I wrote a little book on it many years ago. I haven't pulled it up recently, but it's how we go through the world and being aware of what's around us. Like, I think it's pretty simple. You don't go down a dark alley at night. Like, that's just dumb.
you know? Unless you're Batman.
Batman.
I'm just saying, you know, keeping it real.
I know. No, I'm sorry. The tune just popped in my head. I just, no. Oh, yeah, anyway, I digress. Versus if you have to walk down, you know, anywhere, make sure it's a lit street. That's just sensibility. But it's being awake to the environment also has you awake to the collective energy. And if you believe what we believe, I believe that cause and effect, I think the universe is always in a correction mode in my world. It's like we put out a thought or we act out an action. There's going to be some kind of response. And it's, you know, but sometimes it's not what we would like to see as a response because we are not fully conscious of our actions. And that's why the thing, places like IMHS, TFU, and why we all come together is to be more awake with ourselves and be more aware of, kind of like if you sit at a table, with a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Don't chew your food with your mouth open. It irritates people. Mm-hmm. You know, so we learn these very basic things. And I know Dr. Kelly recently in one of his newsletters was talking about why he personalized things so much in the bachelor's courses, and he feels really strongly about this, that we're all human and how we're learning human lessons. And that's where it all begins, in our human lessons, to then expand our minds and expand, you know, our sense of the world around us. And then, you know, again, allowing the universe to flow when you're feeling irritated and you think, I got to get going, but it's not time.
Yeah.
You know, if you tune in, the universe is saying, wait a day. You know, we're working on it, as if it's a individual. You know, the energy is working on it. So,
that's a good
not
point.
A he or she.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I want to tie in a bit to a point you made earlier, talking about going in that for a walk in that park, you know, kind of clearing your mind, getting with that kind of positive energy that you often find in nature. And I think that when we talk about being connected to the world, it is, I think, largely other people, of course. You know, we are a social species, and we do have that innate connection with everybody around us, those social networks, both digital and otherwise. But there is also that connection to life around us, and the vibe, the energy of a forest, of a mountain, of a lake. And I think it is, you know, easier for some than others, but it is so important to kind of connect in that way. It's refreshing.
Well, nature doesn't lie.
Yeah.
Nature isn't going to have a rhetorical discussion with you. It's just going to be in your face. And I know I've said this on previous shows, but, you know, I had animals for a very long time, trained horses. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had done more of that before I had kids.
Mm-hmm.
To be more awake to even a body motion. You know, you've got a horse in a round pen, you better know how to talk horse, because they don't know English, you know. And it's like every movement, if you move a little bit too much to the left, they're going to go right. But you didn't really mean that.
Mm-hmm.
You were just positioning your body different. But I just made the horse go right. That's not what I wanted. How then do I, I have to stay centered. And if I want the horse to go left, I have to go to the right. You see?
Right.
If I put a hand up, they're going to twitch an ear. Well, what way is that ear going? Because it's signaling whether it's listening or if it's angry or if it's forward. You know, where are the eyes? Where's the tail? Where?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many interconnected lessons about ourselves. I know I've told this story before, Michael, so bear with me. I had a mare, I midwifed her, and I was training her. She's like 3 years old, ready to be ridden, but she was a problem. I had this very determined horse, and I talked to every trainer. I can't tell you, I watched films, I watched the best trainers, I read books, and they all told me the same thing. The horse is not the problem. You are.
Mm.
So one day I get into the pen and I want her to move a little bit, going to catch her, and she charged at me. And of course that kind of what? So I said, that's it. I have to talk horse. So she came to charge at me. I threw my hands up and leaped up and down, and I pawed my foot like a horse would, and I never had another problem with her. Because I'm telling her, no, I'm alpha.
Yeah.
I spoke in a horse language, you see. And it was such a moment of, I get it. And to be, like, that's what I mean, nature doesn't lie. People do. Nature doesn't lie.
Mm.
And this is where it's, I think, being in nature, even if you're watching a squirrel, is critical to an observation how nature operates.
That's
and
good.
Reminds us how we can better operate. You know, it's
true.
Simple.
You know, it's an interesting point. You know, nature is what it is. Sometimes that's very brutal. You know, nature's not always peaceful, kumbaya. Sometimes it can be very brutal. Now, it does have a balance. You know, there's always a balance here. There is the yin and yang, right? And I think that, you know, of course, human beings are an animal. We are part of the natural world. And I think when you're listening to you talk about your experience with a horse, which, by the way, you said it's not the horse, it's you, it's the person working with them, makes me think of working with dogs all the time and the foster dogs I have here from the rescue and things. But, you know, and I think that's kind of getting back to how does the physical kind of connect with the metaphysical? It is that intent. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, the ineffable, you know, the consciousness. You know, where do these things kind of come from? You know, and how are you entangling with the horse? Is it, you know, your body language, verbal communication, and different things, cause and effect and experience? Is there something deeper than that too? And there are so many different avenues on this. Go ahead.
No, even with dogs or any animals, I think it's a very rare thing that you will come across it where they're mentally damaged. And, I have encountered, I was asked to come and talk to a horse, a woman who'd rescued this horse from the meatpacking plant. And I went and met this horse and I said, I'm sorry, it's too far gone. I can't hear that horse at all. Because it's so wound up and short-circuited. I watched one of my llamas have a nervous breakdown. And it was a tragedy. I mean, just tried everything to catch this llama. When I say everything, I mean everything, people. had to put her down because it was a risk to everybody to have this rogue llama. And again, it's a very rare thing in nature, but it will happen. You know, that's why I say nature. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Dr. Mike. Buck Brannaman is, I've watched his film. I've watched a lot of his, you know, training videos. If anybody's into horses, Buck Brannaman is one of the best horse trainers ever. And it's really good stuff. Thanks for that, Dr. Mike. I had to say that as it was coming up on the live chat. So it's just this whole, again, getting back to what the intent of what we wanted to talk about tonight is this connection between a metaphysical world and the physical world, and if we're awake to it, and we are these beings, if you so desire. And we hope we do, and more will eventually, be more awake to the self and more awake to critical thinking and being able to look at ourselves honestly and not be stuck in certain belief systems or certain attachments. And once we let go of that, we can learn. So it can be very exciting, but not if you're attached to your ego and the need to be right, because nature won't forgive you for that. Nature can't.
Right.
Nature has its own rhythm. So the universe has its own rhythm, mm-hmm. and it is unforgiving. So no matter how much we try to mess with nature, it will not comply. You can think it will temporarily comply,
mm-hmm.
but the long term is it wants to restore itself. Just like our individual lives are constantly in a process of wanting to restore us to our own path. Because everybody's got their own path.
And figuring out what that path is sometimes the trick, isn't it?
Well, and it is in a good way. Like the planet does not want to self-destruct. You know, the universe does not want war. The universe does not see this planet as that. And anybody who says, oh, you know, Earth is a warring planet, it's a prison planet, it's all those things, I don't care what you're saying. It is, it's in its essence, this extraordinary energy that has wonderful capacities to look around, look how beautiful it is. you know. And yeah, Dr. Kelly will say we live on a planet where everything is everything. That's true, but that's a sustenance of life. There's, you know, we do need food in order to continue growing and, you know, replicating ourselves as we go. And that's how the continuum works. But, you know, the universe does not have intention of bad. Let's just put it that way. I can't believe that for one heartbeat.
Well,
so,
you know, bad is a, you know, qualitative statement. I think the universe can be indifferent to the individual, you know, animals, both us and other creatures in the world. I just can't help but think about the extinction events that have happened on this planet time and time again. You know, a little bit of chaos, you know, that comes in and changes everything around.
Well, it could be a meteor.
It could be, yeah.
Could be some other, you know, one galaxy bumped into another galaxy and caused a ricochet domino effect. Mm-hmm. But it's always from an action.
It is.
You know, something had to occur, and we can't pretend to imagine, you know, what life beyond our galaxy is, except to, you know, fantasize, really. We can speculate, do all we want, but we don't know.
Oh, it's so fun, though, isn't it? That speculation.
Yeah, and, yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. And, you know, a wonderful exercise for the mind, too. You know, one thing that I do think, thinking about that, you know, extinction events and things outside of our control, one thing that does come to mind is too often we are not in as much control of our lives as we think. Mm. Now, we can control a lot. What's that old adage? You can't control the wind, but you can control the sails, something along those lines. And I think that kind of goes back to your point of kind of, you know, what is the path? How does that work in with the overall path of the world? And I think that belief, you know, which is a very metaphysical thing, has a real impact on what you see as your path. What do you, how do you perceive the world around you? And one thing that I wanted to kind of touch on, too, on this topic is, you know, belief is the most powerful force in the universe. It is incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think for two reasons. One, it is a wonderful tool for focusing intent, especially amongst a group of people, if you have shared beliefs and things like mm-hmm. that. And two, whether belief entangles with things on a metaphysical level or strictly on a physical level, belief changes the world.
What is it, 10% can start the ricochet?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that yeah. kind of, you know, it gets to that, what's the term? It's on the tip of my tongue. When you hit a certain critical mass.
Yep.
And it just kind of blows up from there, and it's exponential growth in terms of change, in terms of an idea spreading, in terms of how culture operates. Mm-hmm. One thing that I'm, as many of you know, I'm a big fan of history. And when listening to different podcasts or reading books on historic events, what you can see very often is people's beliefs, and whether they're real or not. And I think you can look back in history and find an example of a society with beliefs that you can say, well, I think that's not real, like the Greek pantheon, for example. Well, the fact that the Greeks at the time believed very strongly in these gods, mm-hmm. that changed their behavior. That changed the way the world worked. You know, there would be wars or not wars based on what the oracles at Delphi told them. You know, that belief was powerful in a very, you know, materialistic, physical way. And then we can extrapolate that into the metaphysical, and how is that all working together? But it is...
Well, if I could say... This is probably a really good time for me to inject. I've said this for many years to people. There's a really minimal amount of anything we can control.
Mm-hmm.
But we can be better managers.
Mm-hmm.
Managers of our own life, managers of our own conduct, managers of our interactions, responses, awarenesses, how we invest our life, you know, into our lives. We're the manager of life. And again, I agree, you know, from the top that we're intersecting, like you're driving down the road and somebody runs a red light. Well, mm-hmm. you can't tell me the universe meant for that to happen. Somebody just ran a red light because they weren't awake.
Mm.
And that causes a ripple.
It does.
So we're all going to be affected to some degree by such events. Hopefully not car accidents, but they happen.
I mean, with the butterfly effect.
Yeah, well, and it's how we respond to that, how we then manage ourselves as a result.
Mm-hmm. You know, great point. You can't control the world around you, but you can control how you react to it. Yeah. I love that point. Absolutely. Yeah.
Being a better life manager.
Absolutely. And you don't want to point to this in the chat. Damien had said, people's beliefs, ethics, morals are much more fluid than we like to believe. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe that's true. And I think that there's a lot of things are circles within circles, right? I think a lot of people in this world, they have convictions that are, you know, honest and true and deep. I think a lot of people find what their convictions are, what the society around them says they are. It's those kind of carrots and sticks of the world around them. And it is, I think, in times of change in history, shocking how quickly things mm-hmm. can change. And again, that comes right back to that collective consciousness. And things can change on a dime, and you won't necessarily see it coming. And that's just a fact of life. Not just within human society, but within existence, even in the animal kingdom, you know, an ecological change that might change an ecosystem. And, you know, but again, how are we going to adapt to that change? Go ahead.
Yeah. I have to say this because I want to bring up a point about this, too. Dr. Jerry said that Ray Hunt is one of the first horse whisperers, and Buck was one of his students. I recall that. But Tom Dorrance is right in there in the mix, and she had attended a clinic with Ray and Buck when she was in Idaho. But I want to say something to this effect. These men were not competitors in their field. They were actually collaborators. They continued to work together, support each other. And there's like dog trainers, Caesar Millan, the dog daddy. He's pretty cool, actually. I like that guy. There are others, but then there's others that want to compete. And they compete for a selfish reason. They want to put somebody else down so they have more and better. And that's where we have to decipher, you know, who is a competitor versus who's a supporter. Who doesn't care about what other people are doing? You're just minding your business, doing what you do because you love it and you believe in it. And you support others in also doing their good work wherever they are. So again, I think that's one of the ways to how we can, in our observances, you know, observations, and is kind of be aware of how people behave, what their responses are to other people doing good work too. So, mm-hmm. you know,
absolutely. You know, I think we can, it is a wonderful thing that in this life we can find such wonderful inspiration from those around us.
Yeah.
And don't ever forget that also at times you have been the inspiration for somebody else. And take heart in that, the fact that, you know, in those dark moments, there are people that have looked at you and, you know, you've brightened their day. You made them smile. You made them laugh. And that has that kind of butterfly effect, that ripple effect.
Yeah.
It puts that kindness back into the world. I love it.
And, boy, we need that right now, folks.
We do, you know.
You know, I'm going to say it again. At the end of the show, don't let them push you around out there. Mm-hmm. No matter how tough things are, don't let anybody or anything waver you from who you are. You know, it's finding that chi. That's the best word to use tonight, is making sure you stay in your own energy frequency and not be contaminated. So,
Wonderfully said.
You know, we got to work with it, but don't let it push you around.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's card time, Michael.
We've
got some names in the chat already, so
we're getting there.
They were all on it because you put a little note in there.
I planned ahead, keeping things organized. We're learning. We're learning. You know, 11 years, we're starting to get used to this whole thing.
We are.
But
well, let's start with our inner oracle self-discovery mm-hmm. cards.
And, absolutely.
Me with tarot, and I think we have Damien. up next.
Damien, you get a wild card. And first card of the evening, wild card number 5, Don't Hate. Love this one. It is perfect for what you were saying. A low-energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others.
Well, I got 7 of clubs in support of that. So it might be a situation, Damien, an interaction of some kind where you want to be a little bit protective. So there's a difference, I think, between being guarded versus protective in a positive or negative. Sometimes we can be observers, and I think when you're faced with a difficult situation, the best offense is a question. You know, it's, explain that to me, please, or I had no idea, or I'll have to think about that, but can you explain that, please, because I don't understand. So that's kind of that's what I'm thinking here. Instead of a reaction, have a positive response. So I think, Wendy is saying you had that card in December. But look, I want to qualify too. I think everywhere in life, I don't think a day goes by when we're not somehow challenged by something, even the bad drivers. So I think this is more something where you're an interpersonal kind of exchange here for you, Damien. So I want to say you got this.
All right. Yep. And we have Donna next. For you, I have number 2, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, which is not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard that you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. Love that card and love how it fits tonight.
Well, I don't know. I think last week we had a lot of major arcana, and this week we're getting some minor arcana. And but I think this is a good time to mention the last couple of days has been, in the media and otherwise, stressful. So I want to say that this is when it might actually apply. Esteem and validation combined with the Page of Spades or the Page of Swords is that watching a dialogue, you know, and being aware of other people and harsh words and making sure, again, don't waver from who you are, Donna, because we're in a difficult time where it's very easy. And I can speak for myself, too. There's times when I got to watch that I have a filter. So that's just what I want to say here. You stay true to who you are. Knowing who you are, you don't need to argue with anybody. So.
Wonderfully said. All right. I believe we have Jackie next. For you, I have number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Another good one. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy. Love it.
And I got the Justice card. Wow. Fairness, equitability, you know. Again, one planet, one destiny. And it might be, Jackie, that you're looking at the life events and asking yourself, where is the fairness and equitability? And look, I got to probably say we're all asking that in a day. However, that there is another energy at work. And so that's the affirmation in this, that as you look at, you know, we do all have one destiny, like nobody's getting out of here alive, that's for sure, is that there is another energy at work. And that's what Michael and I really hope to convey tonight, that there are other like-minded people, there's like-minded energies, no matter who thinks they're on top today. It doesn't matter, because whoever's on top usually ends up on the bottom, too. So, there you go.
Wise words indeed.
All right, we have Kevin next.
Kevin, for you, I have number 34, take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest. Good one.
Well, what I like about this, Kevin, the Fool has everything to do with new beginnings. Of course, you know, the flip side of that is don't jump off a cliff, you know. But take and release ownership, knowing what belongs to you, what doesn't, and how you might want to initiate things for yourself, get going on projects, things that you want to do for you, is take that initiative. This is an affirmation for you to, yes, take charge. Take charge of what it is. Oh, and you had this card twice in December. Wow. Take and release ownership.
Wow.
I think it really does, in again, my view, indicate a shift in your energy, your psyche, your, you know, sometimes it takes a bit for our mentality to fully catch up. Like we wake up one morning, we know we're changed, we just can't figure that out yet. and really this is about, it's okay for you to do for yourself. And as long as we don't, you know, affect others in a negative way. And I also think that it's important in being responsible is when we are changing to kind of tell others around us. Mm. So, you know, we're not catching people off guard or shaking things up where, you know, don't be a control freak that way and too selfish. It's just to remember that there's good ways to do that.
Absolutely.
So we have Wendy next.
All right. And for new listeners, Wendy is our card keeper. She is somebody who tracks the Oracle cards and looks for those patterns. And so if you hear us referring to, you know, Kevin had this card twice in December and things like that, that is Wendy. We appreciate that. And for you tonight, I have number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented? Love it.
I do, too. And the Two of Clubs says you're looking into the future. You know, very often we start a project or initiate things, changes in our life, but it's based on the frame of thinking we have at the moment. And as we're working through things, we get new information. So we're always kind of reinventing that. It doesn't make us stray from the path. It just adds to the path. And I think you might be at another juncture here, Wendy, where you're getting new information or adding to the arsenal. and that gives you a bigger picture and a better understanding of the how-tos of where you want to go. So I find that very encouraging. I think it's great.
All right. Perfect.
We have Jeff next.
Jeff, for you, I have number 19, invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
The Six of Hearts, I love that. It's all about family, community, service, being with others. So it's, okay, everybody, I hope you don't mind this, Jeff. Jeff and I were actually messaging today. You got to understand, to some of the newer folks here, many of you we've known for many years, and I've gotten to know folks, you know, as an aside and more personally, and Jeff's a real extraordinary young man. And one of his ideas that has been stirring around in his mind is to start doing videos about how he, as a blind man, goes through his daily life. And I went, big exclamation marks, do it, Jeff. I think that Jeff has an extraordinary story. Over the last 10, 15 years, he's been losing his sight, and he's legally blind. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. He said you can say whatever you want. You know, I'm always your cheerleader, Jeff. I just think you're the greatest. So come a long way since he joined IMHS, learned a lot, helped others, since got married, got a house, his sons are grown, and, you know, all these segues. But, you know, they grow a lot of herbs, can their own food. You know, it's been... He does pretty cool stuff. So where Jeff is right now, when he told me today that that was his idea, man, I'm all over this. How do you go through a day of functioning in so many ways that you can help other people with that, Jeff, especially with your knowledge base as a spiritual counselor, you know, your PhD with the school? You got this. So already Wendy and Donna are in the chat saying that's a great idea. So many people could benefit. So I'm behind you all the way. All the way.
All right.
Go for it.
Love it.
Okay, we have Dr. Edward next.
Dr. Edward, another wild card for you. Wild card number 8, freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right. Hope that connects.
Well, I don't know what kind of epiphanies you're having, Edward, but you have the star. Like, this is really profound in my world. It just indicates that you've had an inner shift, a revelation, realization, but it's at a deep level. An awakening of something in your spirit self that's now kind of surfacing up, and I think something really cool is going to come as a result. And I guess kind of when I said it earlier, Michael, waking up one day and you know you're different. And that's how profound I think this is for you, Edward. Freedom and the star, that has everything to do with the flow of life, awakenings, and knowing a sense of spiritual freedom. And that's extraordinary to me. You know, maybe this is a good time. As most of you know, I came from a very dark place in my childhood. And the one thing I knew that no matter whatever happened to me, they couldn't have my spirit. Again, no matter what they did to me mentally or physically, they could not have my spirit. And I'd like you all to think about that now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say about don't let them push you around, they can't have your spirit. So that's kind of where this, it's when you're awake to your spirit self, you have a whole different view of what it is to be human, and not take it so personally.
I love that. That is a wonderful concept. I'm so happy that you brought that out. That is just connects with me too, but I love it.
We have Jerry next. We've got a few more names in here. It's quite the group we have in here tonight, Michael.
It's a good crew. I like them. Jerry, for you, number 10, indomitable power of the human spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
Ah, you got strength. And you know enough about tarot, Jerry, to know what that is. The indomitable power of the human spirit and strength, it's that digging deep to find something new in yourself and feeling energized again, feeling like motivated, an inspirational thought idea. So I think you're on to something, whatever that is, Jerry. So go for it. Absolutely. I want to just inject here, too, in keeping with our conversation about Jeff, Kevin is also blind and in our group, and he said he's honored to be in the same bubble with Dr. Jeff. So, you know, we appreciate you guys, all of you. Everyone has a story, and sometimes it's overwhelming to know how extraordinary some people, their stories are. And kind of what brings us together reminds me again that common thread that we all have, Michael, that we're all here to learn, we're all here to grow and become better human beings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, sometimes the most profound thing I can say is ditto. You know, that is perfectly said.
Well, it's good to have you here, Stephen. What have we got for Stephen, Michael?
Well, for you, I have number 29, pay it forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay forward right now?
I got the Jack of Spades, Jack of Swords, and the first thing that comes to mind in, again, that partnership of pay it forward with the Jack of Spades, somebody who may not be on their best behavior, but be kind to them anyway. Someone who could be acting poorly, saying something unkind, even mean-spirited, being too aggressive. It's situational, and you'll know it when you're there. Be kind to them anyway. It will surprise them. Boy, I sure hope that makes sense. So, that's what comes to mind, Michael.
I love it.
We have Audra next.
Did I miss Audra?
I saw Audra.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, I'm going to get it. All right. Audra, for you, I have number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
You know, when you have the emperor, the emperor could mean many things, but I'm thinking communications, emperor. The first thing that comes to mind, Audra, is communicating with somebody in a position of authority. Now, if authority has ever kind of made you uncomfortable, it intimidated you in some way, I think that wall is coming down. How do I say? I feel like I have to cough. Hang on. I hate that, Michael. Suddenly. Okay, so it's like learning to not feel uncomfortable around people of authority. Feeling like your words hold weight also, and finding ways to deliver. What comes to mind, though, Audra, is a lawyer I once knew had only ever lost one case in her whole career. And I asked her, how is it that you have such a good track record? And she said, I think like a judge. When you think like a judge, you know what to put before the judge. And that's just something I want to impart to you because it popped in my head and it means something. When you're speaking with people in authority, know what they're looking for. And you got this.
Cool. I love it. All right.
Now, we do have a couple more, I think. And then we're going to call it a night. But I know Bridget just put her name in there, but you also mentioned before the program that Amber would like a card.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I didn't know whether she was going to ask for a card, but I did hope that we'd see her. And Amber, just to give you a special shout out, is Amber is actually my second cousin and Dr. Douglas Kelly's first cousin. So happy to have you here. Hope that you've been enjoying this discussion of ours. And with these inner oracle cards that Dr. Kelly created, I get the very easy task of drawing a card and reading from a guidebook. And I kind of think that the numeric probability kind of might show you something. But Dr. Vicky here, she has the tough part of the intuition of, you know, kind of that little extra from the tarot. So hopefully this connects with you, Amber. I have for you number 15, belief system knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system. And sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. So, good card. Hope that connected. And such a great card for the evening's discussion, too.
Well, and I got the Queen of Clubs, Michael, in support of that, which is, you know, the Queen of Clubs is, think of the clan mother, the overseer, the one who can see longer term or kind of decipher what action and reactions are. She's maternal, but she's also wise, and she has that instinct. So that belief system, knowledge base. The Queen of Clubs also has this ability to say, I think I need to change that. Like that worked yesterday, but maybe the world is different today. Maybe I'm different today. Maybe I'm okay to change my mind. And because she's always willing to see herself in a new way. And I know one of the toughest things for me, for my kids, I think it was somewhere around, I was about 50, I guess, and I phoned my oldest daughter and I said, you know that stuff I used to tell you about, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I delete, backspace, delete. I don't believe that anymore. You can't do that. I built my whole world around that thought. I said, go to therapy. I don't know what to tell you. It's just wrong. So that's what the Queen of Clubs can do. I mean, not, and you got to hope that, you know, as we change, everybody else is okay with that.
So hopefully these connected. So glad to have you. I love these folks. And, you know, hopefully we get to see you again here coming up. But
we have one more.
We have one more. And that is Bridget, if I got that right. And for you, number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. To reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere, begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Well, this is interesting, Bridget, because I got the King of Swords. So that King of Swords, King of Spades, he's got an edge to him. He likes to think he's an authority. He likes to think he might know better, more. And so it's understanding your boundaries when interacting with that type of character. And maybe learning where his boundaries are also. It's kind of an interaction. So I would say that you're in a learning curve with a kind of a male energy. And it doesn't, maybe it's not an individual, it's better understanding how to deal with that male energy in the world and how to be assertive without being aggressive. And I know you do that already. You're a master at that, Bridget, but we're always learning. Like I say, every time I think I've got it figured out, I've got something else to learn. You know, the universe gives me a cosmic 2x4 and say, nah, get off your high horse, you know. So, and I'm only saying that because we're all in this together. We're all human. And, again, getting boundaries. I have had to relearn that as a grandparent, even as a friend. And, you know, the list is long that, you know, some things are my business and some things are not. And you got to have boundaries. Everybody's got boundaries. So I would just say it's another little learning curve for you, Bridget, but you're on it. You've got it. You've got all the tools in a toolbox for that. So you're good.
Absolutely. Well,
I think that's it.
That's it. Those are the cards. We had some really good cards tonight, and as it tends to happen, the cards kind of fit really well with tonight's discussion too, mm-hmm. which, you know, it is kind of the crux of what it is to be a metaphysician, right? To think about how the metaphysical world intersects with the physical world. How are we going to kind of marshal these tools that we learn through this organization and the schools to better our lives, and by doing so, making the world a bit of a better place. So, you know, thank you all for being here and joining us. This has been a great discussion.
Well, before we sign off, we have an announcement for next week.
We do.
You guys cannot miss. Michael, go ahead.
This is going to be a must listen. You know, next week we are going to be privileged to have Dr. Mike joining us. And I think we're going to have a great discussion. I think we're talking maybe marine biology, orcas, which is something, you know, just in marine biology, something that Dr. Mike has definitely an area of expertise in. Have some great discussions on that. But, you know, kind of have a good conversation with an old friend. You know, so we'll see where that conversation takes us to. But
and for those who don't know, Dr. Mike worked specifically in shark research for nearly all of his working mm-hmm. career. But he's also involved with MUFON, knows about UFOs, mm-hmm. investigations, like he's multifaceted. And he's kind of a great, laid-back kind of guy who's just this wealth of information. And we're so happy he's coming on next week.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. So looking forward to that. Definitely. Please make sure that you join this. Or, you know, if you can, we understand life comes up. Some people, we have listeners all over the world. Sometimes those time zones are a heck of a thing. But definitely catch up with that one on the archives, too. But looking forward to that. Great discussion tonight. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. But it is that time. As they say, all good things come to an end. But not permanently. We're going to see you guys again next week. But, you know, as we kind of wrap up this discussion, Dr. Vicky, and I kind of have a feeling where we're going to be going. But what are your thoughts wrapping up this tonight?
Don't let them push you around out there, people. All things are temporary,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there is more than what's in our face. There's other energy at work, and I know times feel And Michael and I talked about this before the program too, and other times where life can feel very oppressive for a minute, and you know, you say, what is happening? However, all things are temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It just means we have to work a little more diligently, and know who we are. That's so critical. Stay intact. Don't let it waver you from your spirit, no matter what.
Well said. Well, I will just wrap up by saying, you know, our beliefs are powerful, you know, and it is something that we do have some control over, you know, what we put our energy into, how we structure our beliefs, and making sure that we're grounded with them. So I will say, this is a powerful force that we do have a bit of control over. Think about that. Think about how it intersects with the world around us, and make a better world. Be kind, be forgiving, and just pass that on, pay it forward. So with that, thank you everybody for joining us tonight. Can't wait until next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.